customers. My gosh, he had more guns there waiting to be fixed. Stacks of them. Not on the racks, on the walls, just sitting around in corners that had to be fixed. Loads and loads of guns. But, he really doesn't do me.
Well, Nick, it's nice to, you know, when you're dealing, when you're getting your repair work done with people like that, that's part of your pleasure.
Well, the thing that, yeah, that's right. And, well, you know, you go into one, you know, you go into the Sears place, you know, and the old clerk takes it, he doesn't know what's his and nothing.
No.
He didn't know, he couldn't look at it and tell you what's wrong with it, and he'd have to wait, and in months he might know or might not have worked on it or not, and cost you $40, and...
Yeah.
But this guy, you know, talks with you like he's your buddy, says, yeah, good buddy, says, I got you right fixed up. Pat you on the back, you know, and just really great.
That way, you see, you don't have to have entertainment. That's right.
And I'm taking another gun back to him, one that we just chucked aside and just said, forget it. So I'm just because he's so great, I just want to take it back to him just so I can see him again. So I got another gun in the back. Old antique octagon barrel, remember those old 22s?
Yeah.
Octagon barrel,
yeah.
Old ones? Old ones.
Are they old?
Yeah. And it won't even cock or nothing. It's all messed up. And we just put it on the rack just for looks, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to take that back and let him. So I can have him do some more.
Well, now you see the world be different if you could trade
That's
with
right.
somebody like that.
Well, Mr. Seiler, the mechanic's the same way. My mechanic, that helps me with my car.
Is he the one Dana went to?
Yeah, he's the one I always go to, the one that I got Dana in and everybody now. He's real close. He's just 2 miles away, right down the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah.
Right on the side of the road. Oh, he's wonderful. Smokes a pipe, old guy. He said, yes, sir. Yes, I'll have it fixed up for you. Yes, sir, right away. And he'll stop what he's doing and come right over and he'll look at it. And what's good about these two people, now most of these mountain people you got to watch. They're like the horse trails, they'll try to get you. But these two people are just as fair and honest. I've never seen anybody like it.
No.
I mean, overly so. $7 for doing $4 for the shells and then $3 for parts and labor. That's ridiculous. I felt embarrassed to pay them so little. That's what happened to me with Mr. Seiler. The first time I went down there, when I had the old car, the old Opel, the little one, I went down there, and it was missing or something. Before I was doing my own, you know. He replaced the plug, the point, changed the oil, gave me an oil filter, gave me an air filter, adjusted the brakes, realigned the wheels, balanced the wheels, and checked the fluid in the differential, put some more in, and I needed some of those jumper cables. He welded me a pair of those, and it cost me $8. And I said, $8, now come on, Mr. Seiler. I said, here, you just take 10. I felt embarrassed to give him $8. I felt embarrassed to give him 10. For all that. I couldn't believe it. It was just impossible. He couldn't do that and still be in business. But he did. Couldn't believe it. And all that stuff was top-notch work, too. He did. Just the first rate. And he stops what you do, and I go in there, and my wheels need balancing. He's right in the middle of underneath the car working on it. He'll stop what he's doing.
Now,
come right over.
You talk to him, and he'll tell you the sort of life he'll
leave. That's right.
And it'll be as steady.
And that's right. And he'll even tell you how to do stuff yourself. That means he's cutting himself out of business. He'll say, now, you know, you don't need to bring this to me every time that happens. You just do this little thing right here.
That's important.
And you know, and that's something when he you know, when you could bring it to him and he could get a couple dollars for doing that.
Yeah.
And when he tells you how to do it yourself, that's really something.
But as far as you know, the people you knew over at Richmond there weren't close to anything tall like this.
Mm-mm. Not as far as I could tell. They were all, you know, the high society type.
And they never got out, as far as you know.
The old man, Randolph, they hunted some, got out in the country and did a little hunt.
But he was the old man.
But it was, none of the younger generation at all. The old man, a little, and his father more than any. You know, the old man. And Mr. Bird, same way, they'd do a little hunting every now and then. Out in the country, but that, but first, you know, they'd call up, you know, have it all arranged, they'd just walk out.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know.
They'd all own that property.
Yeah, they'd just call up their manager out there.
I might have two down gym, but let me see. Now they're at school. You just knocked around with the other boys, the girls out there too.
You mean at Swanee or at St. Christopher's?
St. Christopher's.
Well, there's no one. Well, the girl. See, it was a boys' school. St. Christopher's was a boys' school
that's
only.
Boys.
Well, now. A block away, joining, is the girls' school on another campus.
Yeah.
The campuses come together, but they're sort of separate. And we intermingle sometimes. The classes aren't mixed, except for unusual classes. Like, we'd have to go over there for art and music, and they'd have to come over here for high math and stuff. So there'd be a couple mixed classes, but not much. And, so I just mix around.
You always had someone to go to a party with.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want.
They own the campus?
Yeah.
On their houses?
Well, either both, yeah. Sometimes, you know, the parents would have parties and they'd be invited and go over the house.
So you knew everybody?
Oh, yeah, I knew everybody, sure. I knew everybody in school right down to first grade. Right down to little old teeny kids, 7 years old. From first grade to 12th grade, 12 grades, there wasn't but 200-300 people. There wasn't but 20 in a class.
Yeah.
I knew them right on down to the little old.
And their families.
Most of them were brothers, The little guy in the first grade had a brother in the 8th grade, and he had a brother in the 12th grade.
Yeah.
You knew the guy in the 12th grade, you automatically got to know all them.
Yeah.
And then they probably had a sister in the 3rd grade over at St. Catharines, and maybe one in the 9th grade at St. Catharines. So, you know, you get to know one, you get to know them all. So, you know 10 families, you know everybody in the school.
Yeah.
How'd you get up there in Christmas?
Well, as boarder. See, now boarders are different.
I mean, how'd you get onto it?
Well, it's Episcopal, and, you know, we learn through the church. They publicize it a lot.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. See, there's only two or three Episcopal private schools in the country. There's Episcopal High School in Arlington, Virginia, and there's Virginia Episcopal School in Lynchburg, Virginia, and there's St. Christopher's in Richmond. See, those are the only. And see, those three schools are publicized a lot in the churches all around the country. Like our church in Homococo, they have slides and little movies and pictures and stuff of these three schools, and Swanee too. And so we got to know who they are. I applied to all three of those. All three of them.
And now the big, clubs, what were they?
Oh, they had, well, there's three clubs in Richmond.
Constitutional club?
Well, they're all different. There's two country clubs.
Yeah.
One outdoor and one indoor.
Yeah.
Tennis courts inside, everything inside. That's a real exclusive one. And then there's the outdoor one. That's the real old one. You know, 200-300 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody belongs to. And then there's the Commonwealth Club.
Commonwealth. I couldn't think of that.
Commonwealth Club. That's
the one.
That's the dining club. Pay $1,500 a year and you get to eat there. That's all for that money you get the privilege of eating there.
Now who took you?
Now I've been there with the Birds and the Randolphs and the Blairs. before on the numerous occasions with those three people. See, the only way you can get in there is through inheritance. That's the only way you can get into the club. I mean, if I had $1 million and I wanted to get, I couldn't get in there. I'd have to marry one of those daughters to get in that club. That's what I'd have to do.
Somebody's already in it.
That's right. The other two clubs you can get in with, you have to pull a lot of strings to get in. But you could get in if you really wanted to, but not the Commonwealth Club. See, that was started in 1700. George Washington and all those guys were the first ones. And their descendants right on down the line are the ones that are still in it. And it's the real rich, I mean, the old time, the old way it was. Just still, right down to the... They've got servants working in there that wait on tables that are grandsons of slaves that wish to work on there. Even to that extent.
When I went,
it was the same thing.
One waiter.
That's right. Oh, two, three maybe. One to fill your water and one to bring your food and one to just sit there and for anything you wanted, a match or something. And yeah, we did it the old way. We drove down and I went down at the most with Mr. Randolph. He and his family. And see, he had he and his wife and his four kids and me. See, that would be seven people right there. See, we'd go down there and he'd drive down. He'd go up to the first entrance and all the girls would get out. And the two footmen would come down, two colored people come down in their little tuxedos, open all the doors, and the ladies come in, they'd escort them up and into the ladies' powder room. Then we'd drive on down a little bit further and go to the men's entrance. And then we'd get out, and the footman would come down. Open the door for us.
Yeah.
Footman would come down, open the door for us. And then take the car and go park it. And we'd go up this entrance into the men's room. And then we'd meet in the middle the ballroom or the waiting room or something. We'd meet the ladies in the waiting room. And then we'd come, another guy in a tuxedo would come and escort us to the table. Master Randolph, you know, Master Randolph's table's over here. You know, so come and pick him up and go over to there. That table, real lots of space, you know, not right up against the next guy, you know. You know, you have your table there, big, all tables were round, enough for seven people, and be 10 feet from the nearest table, be nice, you know. And there'd be three people, one, all men, no female workers, they're all men, and they all had their little napkins over their arm, you know. One guy would take the order, and one guy would sit there with nothing to fill your drink, and the other one would sit there just for odds and ends. You know, you need a match, you have a match, you know, or mint or something, you know, you want anything. He's there for that, for every table, see, so you never have to worry. Boy, the minute you take one little sip of water, it fills back up again. Just right there, no problem. And you order, and it's just... Everything comes in closed dishes and five courses, and just take your time. No hurry. If nobody needs your table next, you know, you can't rush off. Have your cocktail, and then you have your salad, and then your fruit cocktail, and then your main course, and then your soup, and then your dessert, and then your after dinner drink and cigar, and you know, just right on. You know, you might even take 2 hours to eat. And just sit there and eat, you know, and Mr. Randolph, you see, now he had a little touch of that. I remember that. When he'd sit at the table, he'd call old John over, one of the colored boys that worked there, you know, he's pretty old. And he'd talk with John, he'd say, I remember your father used to work there. And we used to do this and that and everything, you know. He'd say, yeah. And he'd say, yeah, I remember the time this man, I don't remember the specific thing. I remember he had a little touch of that, you know. But then again, he was, you know, 50, 60 years old, that's right. But, that's the way it was. The meal cost him $100, and I still have to pay. After paying $1,500 to belong, he still had to pay for the meal.
His due was $1,500.
That's right. And they never carried cash, he just signed his name, and they sent him a bill later. Never handled money. That's the old way it always was a long time ago. They still got in downstairs, where the cars parked, the old stalls where the buggies were put up and everything. Still got them, all the rows and stalls and everything. Hey, Lars.
Yeah, Swanee Episcopal?
Yeah.
Do you have any of that cat over in Swanee?
Not really. Used to be 10, 15 years ago, but it's all gone now.
Oh.
Just faint glimpses of it every now and then.
Just cafeteria like CICI?
They have, they're slowly going out there. They had family sit down style. And they still got it, but they have it once in a while, At cafeteria sometimes. Sit down sometimes. But they don't know how to. The students don't do it for what it is, They eat in 5 minutes and leave, and might as well be cafeteria. It's all going,
So the meal is no ceremony anymore?
Not anymore. Used to be with tape cloths and everything. Got old hard wooden table, not wooden, but four mica tables. That's it.
They ought to do something that the public schools don't do.
Well, even the fact that they have a little bit of sit down, something, I guess. There's plenty of things that they do that the public school doesn't do.
Now, Mr. Lytle talks.
Yeah.
Well, in his talk, don't you see any of this?
Like the St. Christopher's, you mean?
No, like the
side, Yeah, sure. Not specifically horses, not all the time. Mostly deals with people.
Experiences.
Mm-hmm. See, they're all related to everybody. If you're from Tennessee, you're related to everybody else in Tennessee. Somewhere. So it's always my old fifth cousin, fourth removed. I remember her, she used to do this. Got an infinite number of people he's related to somewhere or another.
And he brings those up?
Yeah.
In class?
Mm-hmm.
But mostly at home?
All the time at home, but not. Just a little bit in class when it pertains.
Like in the Vanquish?
Yeah. Sometimes,
The experience when he was young.
Yeah, that's right.
That was, when did he tell you that?
He told us that in class.
I forgot how that went.
That, the thing in the Unvanquished about, the little colored boy, starting to dominate the little white boy, and then suddenly he wakes up and realizes this can't be, and re-exerts his dominance over it. That Mr. Lytle told us a story from his own about that too, back in Murfreesboro, where he lived. When he was 8 or 10 or something, he saw he was driving a family buggy, and he saw some colored boys, a lot older and bigger than he was, picking on a smaller little white boy. And without even thinking or stopping to think that these guys are bigger than he is, to beat him up easy, you know. He didn't even think of that. He just stopped that thing right there and said, "You get off me. I don't want you picking on that little white boy like that." You know, right in the mouths of the wolves, he's doing this, you know. And they just, "Yes, sir, yes, sir," to the little white boy. Even then.
Yeah.
he was using this to demonstrate that that even existed up into his time. Not anymore nowadays, but even when he was.
And he always wears a...
Oh, yeah. He always wears his little pocket watch and toothpick.
You know, I'd seen that thing around his neck. I didn't know what it was.
I have, too.
Keeps it in his shirt pocket.
It's a watch.
It's a gold pocket watch of his father's. It opens up, you know, and got a little picture of his parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also a gold toothpick on there. He left the world of the right there in Richmond, too.
Really?
Yeah. He lived in Paris and London. Right. He was one of the top fencers, sword fencers, in this country. And he, you know, the English are always the famous ones for fencing. In London, he held off the Duke of something or other, who was the current reigning fencer. For 5 minutes or something, he said he was trying to back up with him for 5 minutes and held him right off. He was that good. Oh, he had a cane with a sword in it and all that stuff all around Paris. He was quite the challenging duels and all sorts of things. When he was when he was about 20 or 25 or something.
So he had his international
flame. He said he had his little flame there for a couple of years, and then he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went from St. Christopher's on up to there, wherever he went to school.
And he didn't go to St. Christopher's, but he went, yeah, the same sort of thing. Well, you know, he went to Vanderbilt.
Well, you see, up until... Oh, World War II. It was a little closer to it. It was gone,
mm-hmm.
but it was close
yeah.
to it. You could see it.
Yeah, that's right.
So
see it if you look.
Yeah. So he would. He could get to it. He could get to it. Now let me tell you, Nick, on the tape, you see, my experience is limited. I don't have access to the people. And my access is limited, you see. I can't say, all right, you come over here tomorrow, and next day, you see, they won't come. So I have to figure to come. But Miss Daisy, through her, we have sort of resurrected Francis Presley.
Yeah.
Now, Francis Presley is one of the great spirits. And anyone connected with Robert Smith over here. Why, when he came over there, he took care of Francis Presley. And she needed anything, she'd go there and he'd get it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in his taste in people, he's right, Robert is right, critical. Old Man Boyd, you see, he wouldn't have a thing to do with it. I like Old Man Boyd, but you know, it's a little different. But anyhow, we have got Miss Daisy to reconstruct episodes.
Yeah.
And Francis talks.
Hmm.
As far back as the 20s.
Hmm. That's pretty good.
Now you see, she can't do it by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only art that I've found, is I know it's there, is to somehow or other get back there and hold it open.
Mm-hmm.
Hold it
mm-hmm.
there, hold it open.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, one of the nicest things. Now this, I don't know how this came up, but she got off on the babies. And one, she did that several times, and each time, taking care of the babies, or the midwife. Well, it's two or three times before we found out that the midwife, that she paid the midwife $2.50, and the midwife came 9 times, every morning, 9 times. And she, the midwife told her how to take care of her child, and such, you know. One little thing after another, and one of the fascinating things is they wanted to keep the child quiet. And now, you see, they want the child to start having experiences for the day he's here.
Yeah.
And she never wakes the child up.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be ready whenever the child woke up,
yeah,
or bathed the child, and then dressed the child, and then feed the child.
Mm-hmm.
Put the child down.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, they give them a little soothing syrup. Put them off, another room on the bed. Now, she brought that to life. See, I'm just giving you the bare facts.
Mm-hmm.
She brought it to life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the nice things. Gosh, I wish I was up there. You see, people write civil lines up there. They'll talk where you are. And they're not suspicious like they are down here.
Mm-hmm.
They,
well, it depends on how you go dressed. I couldn't go down like dressed like this. They'd back off. They wouldn't say anything. I have to go down in my old jeans and my old boots and torn up shirt.
You know something about horses, and that got you.
Mm-hmm.
And look what it led to.
Oh. You don't do much talking. They do the talking. You listen.
Mm-hmm. I listen. Yep. See, they don't know I'm a college student. They did.
Don't.
They did. Well, Jimmy does, but he
never know.
He's different. He's been in contact. No.
He knows better than do that, don't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, I know, because he knows how they would think.
Yeah.
They don't like college students at all. Anything connected with them.
Yeah. They don't like university either.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, you know,
yeah,
not advertise it.
Yeah. You have to. Well.
You ought to get some of this down. Yeah, I know you've got to go, because you've got,
have,
you
yeah,
said 11
9,
o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you want, I'll give you one of these.
Hmm?
You got anybody at home?
No.
No, I'm dead.
On the road, and another one a lot more. And, the new boat is picking on the road boat. And, there were lots of, this is down most of my intelligence. There's a lot of other people around. Not older kids, they didn't hear anything. But he said that just because of the way he was brought up, that in his mind he just, you know, not even complicated, that he was above these other people, and that he had that authority over them, even no matter how old he was. And so he saw this, you know, the boy picking on this white boy. He just jumped down there and yelled at the white boy, don't pick on that guy. And all the places. And he's only 10 years old. And they all, you know, just take what he said. And then that thing, so that idea play all over in the head.
How much of that did you get in Richmond?
It was a different sort of thing there. There's a lot of in that country thing. This is all city and all the city folks are just, you know, this is kind of plantation and everything. And they all just took the idea. was a woman I was with. And then it taught me to dance. And then I knew that the girl was going to be on school one to take the fellowship and then into the school and it was very, but yeah, that's all about the dance.
But that was just an issue. It's a whole little funny. Pay $1,500 a year just to belong to a dining club with half of them both these blocks a year. And
on top of that, they have to pay for the meal. And I said, listen, I have to pay them in the $1,500 a year, and they have to pay for their own meal. And it was right at 62.
Now it's probably be a lot more.
Right downtown Richmond, big building.
How old were you?
Just like the old time, they did everything the same. You came in your tuxedo, you stopped the car up here, and the ladies get out, and you drive over here, and the women get out, and the sisters take the door stop. You go up different things, and the ladies go up different things, and you move in the car, and then the butler takes you in. There's three paid three Negro waiters for every table in the little white tuxedo. They wait on only you. You know, and you'll be $100. You can, you know. I'd go with the Randolphs all the time.
Is
yeah.
That Mary's
name? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know.
No, I didn't meet her, but we had some pictures. She
yeah,
came down.
Yeah, she came down. Her birthday. Anyway, she got the two brothers and a sister, so that's four. Plus myself would be five, and parents would be seven. That'd be $100 bucks, I think, for the baby. Everything was done in the old thing. Extremely leisurely. I mean, you didn't wait for me. Top of the building overlooking the city. They must have had some lunch back in those old days. They'll be on lunch.
But they didn't talk, right?
The oldest generation, I think,
well, now you see, that experience, the dormitories you talked about yesterday, did they ever talk about things like that?
Not much. They don't ever, I'm not so sure they should because they never come to my house. Because here these people are, you know, always probably let us off their mouth and brought up in the, you know, in the time kind of speech, you know. Although I've heard the older generation, old Mr. Randolph, Mary's grandfather, not 75, and old Mr. Blair, not 75. I've heard them talk. Pretty good, but it wasn't still quite right. And they were, to talk about things like in the old days. But it still wasn't as nice.
Doesn't sound like something.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Nick, how did this come up? Did Jimmy come up to ask you?
He came to my house. Been looking for him. His mother is married to my landlady. And he came in the room. Knocked on the door real loud. I thought the house was going to come on. Got a deal for me. So, he's always got a deal for me.
Is that his
Yeah.
Has that after hours?
I just finished my exam for this life. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was 5 o'clock.
But he was still on the job.
No, he didn't work on Saturday.
Oh, that's Saturday.
Yeah. He worked 16 weeks.
And did he take you out there?
Well, I didn't know where this place was. He showed me. He went back to his house. Come on, and pick me up at his house. Pick him up at his house.
Oh, you take him up there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I always want to go to his car. I want to talk to him. He never said that. He always said, we're going, I asked him, he said, you want to go in my car? You want to go? Oh, we'll go in your car.
Bring that car.
Well,
not very what?
Close. It was about 40 miles from Kansas. It was
good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you get home until late? Well, he knew this fella from around, from the shows or something. He knew the guy. And apparently the guy had told him about it. Or he didn't know something. And so he had been up there the week before.
He circulates over the countryside?
Oh, yeah.
40 miles off in Key Red?
Oh, yeah.
Taking up horses?
Yeah, he went down to...
And we went down to Manchester. No, he went all the way to Nashville to get a horse one time. Look at one. Just look at one. That's 90 miles.
But I if he rich.
If he rich, that's 40 miles. At least, maybe 45. Yeah, he knows all the little back roads way on back in there. He's the one that got me on that gunsmith. Well, I've never seen such a place to get back there. I asked him back there, anybody else to come. Oh, no. Ray Jeff. He's the best in the world. I always said, I can't tell you. I said, you can't tell me how to get there? No, I'm sorry. In 2 times, I'll show you. So we went down so many S-turns and back down little old dirt roads and two cow passes and everything. Got back in the walls and back. Little tiny house on the road. And it had a big gun out front with a mailbox kind of thing. So at least it's clean. And that's not the place that it's behind. So we went behind the house, a great big building back there, 10 times bigger than the house. That was just one fixing shop, a lot bigger than the house. I went back to get the gun later. And I really got lost my way after I'd been there.
You had things to work with?
And the whole world, I don't think there's a big one. All the things, you didn't make the thing. But all the woodwork stuff to make the fire, everything. Mm-hmm. Not just down the road here.
He'd just sit and talk.
No, he was a talker. Ooh.
Boy,
what? Just... Man, I went in there to pick him up yesterday. There was two or three guys in there that were coming in here. And I was just standing there waiting for him to wait on me. And just standing there with an education right there, wasn't it? All that talking to him was all down. You know what I think?
Talking about?
Yeah, that ain't as good as the one I had that could do this and the other guy.
Yeah.
I remember one time I shot for him. I killed him. I said, well, I'm not going to do this. On and on.
Yeah, they just remember.
Oh, yeah. And it had a barrel about 6 feet long. I mean, from the end of the gun out, it was just like that. And I was like, well, that's my squirrel. He says, well, I said, what's my barrel? Oh, because I make it reach out. Reach out. I said, yeah, I said, well, you know. Had a hole through the stock where you could put your thumb. And then what they're doing is put the hole right through the stock. And you put your thumb in there, trying to feel it in there. You know. This is his long range deer gun. Big scope on the top, and then 100 power magnification, and big shell. And then, here you go. So you could get them and you couldn't even see them. You have to look through the binoculars and see them.
walls and just lying. I mean, standing up on them, and just lying. There must have been 5,000 that all in were awful. You could go through them all day and just lying. And then in the bathroom, you didn't go nowhere. All the guys in TV made great. And I just got back, from the one place when they started doing it. That makes me ask if I saw out of TV. Oh, Ray, he's a good friend. He sticks around. They got it.
Nothing like that around here.
No, sure.
Clyde's not even close to that, is
it? Well, I don't know how wide Clyde's
popularity
is. He's new.
When you got over there where the horse was, you saw the race through it, let's say. Was it the horse just out in the pasture?
No. But when we drove up, the horse was, they were bringing him in from the pasture, put him in a stall.
Oh, they knew we'd come.
So they had caught the horse.
And so they had caught it and were in the process of putting it in the stall. Stall about as big as this room. Big stall.
So the horse was nervous and just being caught.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have put him in such a big stall. Because they had too much room to move around on the stall. And just scratching over and turned over against the wall.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All of you in the stall?
Jimmy and I in the front and the other fellow.
Yeah,
not mm-hmm. Yeah, he was hardly enough to touch me. Took a lot of talking and doing just to get up here.
Oh,
that
talk then.
Mm-hmm.
Just a medium sized horse.
About the size of Missy. Maybe it was medium sized. They said it was a quarter horse and I hadn't taken it. But, I found out it's over there. So, either mistreatment or. Every once in a while, one of them. It's been actually like that. But from the way he handled after when I got on him, I just felt that he'd been mistreated.
Well, if you had the horse, you would say that tone him down,
oh, yeah.
Quiet him down.
Okay. So
just a little handle.
Mm-hmm. They don't handle their horses up there. They just, ride them, turn them loose, and that's it. And catch them down. Sometimes they'll spend all day just catching a horse. Then we're getting sometimes we spend all afternoon trying to catch the fish with it. And he had a flask of the old bucket of fish there too. I come up with it about 2 feet and I'm looking at it. You decide you really are going to catch it and back down.
And tell you just to set it down.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to run them, that never do it. They always think it's not right. to try the old feed trucks first. If that doesn't work, then you try to run them down.
That'll never work. It's a horse.
Horse will run all day, and you can never tell.
How they run.
Oh, you know, it's a three-four guys and trying to get them into the corner. But this, this is worse, because when he's running, he's all, you know, wild and literally done wrong. He's even worse, he's not calm at all. But then when you do get him into the corner, he'll go over the fence for a long time.
I'll kick him out there.
Mm-hmm.
What did he, what sort of success for what he had a fan? You know, he did get that here once in a while.
Well, I always just do the, you know, try to approach him gently and calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And if that really just won't work, I don't ever do any more with him.
Just wait for later.
Yeah, try again an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is an alternative way if you're really, really desperate. You have to do it. You can rope him.
But Jimmy then can't rope
him. They can't rope him. Have
you seen him run a horse?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. He'll try to something else. Everybody gets out of the horse. The horse always just gets by. You're running to head him off. You know, the horse is running along the fence. You're running over the fence to head him off. And he just gets by the horse. You know, he's on the fence. He runs all the way down the other end of the path. And everybody runs down there. And then he's going back and forth in the corner. And he's going to go this way. He'll run over the fence to head him off. And he just puts on a burst of speed and just stops. And he'll run over the other thing. And he can do this all day till he tires you out and he's off. And then he's lost.
And the horse didn't find him.
And the horse just didn't find
him.
You know, I've done that so many times.
On foot?
On foot. Well, if you have another horse, you can do it.
That's the way, you know, you've always gotten to run with the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a crowd, it's different.
Yeah.
If you're in an open pasture, you can't, they've got a crowd, so you've got a little pen or something. Everybody can tell them, you know, they can spin them.
Yeah.
And then it's probably an impact. Like, no, nobody will have those things. They have them, but they don't have them connected with the pasture. That's what gets me.
Oh.
I don't understand that.
Now, what's that?
Everybody up there has their pastures laid out, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't have their pens connected to the pastures.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a...
You
know,
mean like the corral?
The corral, I think. They don't have them connected to the pastures.
Yeah.
It'll be over here behind the house or something. You know? You gotta catch the horse and then mow and put them in the pen.
Yeah.
It'd be much easier to have the pasture connected on and you just open the gate and run in and close the gate and be it, you know. No, yeah, no.
And then in the pen have little pens.
That's right.
There you go. Close the gate. Yeah.
But they'll connect their barn with the with pastures and pens. Because that's the easy way to do it. They'll just open all the doors in the stall and have the feeding cows come in.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to leave each one off the path.
Yeah.
And just leave those and just go on that way.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, if they could think of that, then I'd have to think of their team. But they don't go out.
Yeah. Well, now, were you in the pen when you were nodding this way?
Well, we put the saddle on in the stall.
Oh, you're in the stall?
Yeah, they brought him into the stall. But he was in the stall.
Yeah. Well, that's a big stall. So they had the bridle on him, or rope on him.
The guy, well, they brought him in with the rope, and then the guy spent about a half hour putting the bridle on him. He didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, he was there. And then, just have a good time. I got the saddle on, I think they went out to
Well, now, did you take over the horse, or did they hold the horse while you were saddling?
Well, they held the reins, you know, while I was going on, but then that was all.
And
horse could still move around.
Yeah.
You know, you see the head stuff, they could still move around back. That's what they were doing. They throw it up and move the rein around and throw the saddle up and move back in the rein and move over to him again and throw the saddle up and move around.
How
long did that go on? Turn around and the guy holding the thing would just turn around and circle the horse. Still going with the saw, see? He didn't. He just had a loser. Coming back up.
Yeah. Now you used your hat?
Yeah, I my hat over the eyes. So, yeah.
Oh, clear up on his head.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I said, why did he let you get up that close?
Well, see, I had there were certain things to do and get him my time too, so I had to take my hat off here, so and then I put it on it.
With your hand on his neck?
No, I had my hand on his neck.
Over
the line.
Well, now he could feel that motion, though.
And I put it on. When he showed up, and then it comes down on top of him, and it comes down in the field. He did move around after he jumped it, but it was all around him again.
So he let it go. But then you couldn't mount it.
Couldn't get on either. After he stopped it all up, he goes to the foot and the foot and back in. Back in, what he's doing. So I did the same thing.
You got your head, foot in the stirrup?
Mm-hmm.
And still holding your hat over his eye?
Mm-hmm.
And swung up.
Mm-hmm.
With your right hand?
I had my left hand over his eye. So my right hand on the side of him.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
So you... Wouldn't be easy to swing up that way, would it?
No, you could use left hand.
Yeah. But you could do it. They didn't push you or anything.
No. They were afraid of it. Nobody ever got money before. They didn't know where to buy it or take it.
Oh, they didn't even know what he'd ride.
Everybody was standing way back. No, nobody ever ridden before. But they had known that. That wouldn't happen before.
And you were guinea pigs.
Yeah, I know. That's what I found out. I didn't know that. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, you didn't know all that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd never ridden it.
No, they didn't tell me that. They didn't tell me anything.